As Chris said last week, and for quite a few weeks, Steve has been talking about repentance, but last week he really went deeply into repentance and doing a 180. And so when he was away this week, we were talking about who might speak, and that really sort of stayed with me. How do you actually do that 180 from something that's been bothering you, or for something that that you're aware isn't quite right? And so I just thought that I would like to think about that a bit and bring, you know, talk about it. As Chris said, also, Steve talked about inherited roots, generational roots. But we were thinking now, this week and the next 2 weeks with Steve, we might just look, today I want to look at like garden variety sin, things that we're really not noticing anymore as Christians that we're doing. And as I was thinking about it, you know, I just asked the Lord, is there something that I'm doing? And, you know, I don't think so, but yeah, things came very vividly, immediately, boom, boom, boom. Three things that are so shockingly pedestrian, but significant to me. So I got quite excited about this marvelous week of correction. So anyway, so I just want to talk about those kinds of things. Next week, we're going to talk about reactive sin, like a history we have. Sometimes when we're small in a family, we react a certain way. We, you know, if it's a very volatile family, we might get very angry. We might run away. We might isolate ourselves. And it works really well when we're children. But then, you know, in adolescence, it's presenting problems. As an adult, it's not good because we find that we're throwing up walls when we don't even realize it. And those of you who are married will know that sometimes, or and all of us realize that at times things just fly up and it's like people say, where did that come from? Or you say to yourself, what is this? And, you know, it's something that's been stored. And the emotions are, you know, they were buried alive, basically. Buried alive, and they are rising up. So we're going to talk about those reactive sins. Not our fault. Children worked well, but not working now. And then finally, the third week, we will talk about that inherited pattern. And, you know, like Ezra Nehemiah, when they come back to Judah and they confess on behalf of all of Israel, they take the sin as theirs. And we need to do that in our families. Sometimes we can see the line and we're the Christians. So it's for us to pray that, you know, I take this sin as mine, break it, Lord, you know, and if we can't, who's going to, right? So that's kind of what we're going to do. But today I just want to talk about these everyday ones. And I've made some marvelous diagrams for you. I hope you enjoy them. Too bad I can't show you as I thought, but I'll hold them up here. So the first one is, hey, do you see it like this? Can you see that? Okay, good. So this is repentance. And it means turning around. And repentance, the word is actually meaning, you know, I'm just going to show you the top part, then I'll show you the diagram. The the root of repentance in English, like in Latin or whatever it was actually like a reptile. So there's a sense of crawling in repentance, which is really good. We don't have to crawl, but we do have to bend the knee and humble ourselves. So what happens here? I'm going to show you this. This is you and me as a Christian. We're doing good and we're going along our business. Just a normal thing. Maybe we're serving God that day as usual. And suddenly we hit a little pit here. And we, you know, we can hardly notice it. Right? You can hardly notice it. Sometimes you just hit a glitch. you don't even realize it until the end of the day. That something happened there. I got a disease. Somebody shot me a glance. I said something that was like thoughtless. What actually happened? And this is going to be something we need to repent of. This is my idea here. So, you know, the first thing is we kind of have to recognize it. And lots of times we don't, because we think they were bothering me, or like, that's what I'm busy doing something here. That's very important. And I just didn't see them. You know, somebody said to me at GFC once, you know, Mary Charlotte, it's really fun doing this with you. You know, I always thought you hated me. And I'm like, oh, nice. I was speechless. I was like, how did you get that opinion? Was that when I was preaching once or praying? I don't know. Or just generally got that idea that I was hateful. Good. And, you know, when I think back, people will often, you know, there have been little things that have given me hints that I'm an arrogant ass, you know. So, you know, they add up. When something really comes and you get a little glitch like this, you have to think about it. And you have to, you know, ask about it. So that's the first thing in repentance. Repentance isn't, I think, as Christians, and also definitely as Canadians, you know, this is a habit to say sorry for things. Oh, sorry. Did I do that? Sorry. But we never really investigate it. We just go on and basically do the same thing differently. And Steve talked about that, making your own way over those bumps, but you're going in the wrong direction. Your center is off. You're not getting where you think you're going as a believer. You're not getting there. So I'm not getting there. So it's important, as these things come, to ask. So repentance really means, and we assume this, but we don't clearly mark it. It really does mean, confessing. So you have to name the thing. You have to confess something and receiving forgiveness. Now, I think most of us are quite good at confessing, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I did this, I did that. But we don't stop to receive forgiveness. So we need both to, confessing means agreeing with God. You know, we confess Christ, it means we believe it. That's how the word confession is used usually. It's not always like the way we think of it religiously. It means speaking truth. And in our case, it means agreeing with the Lord. So to actually confess something, we've got to realize that it's bad. Morally, there's something wrong. If we're confessing to the Lord, we've got to come to the conclusion that this is morally not on. It's not a small thing. It's not just like we're irritable and we let it go. And we justify it. Like, you know, I used to be a redhead. That was a common thing. I don't remember people saying it of me, but it was like, you know, they have tempers, you know. So you can say, I'm that kind of person. I've just always been volatile. It's a kind of creative energy, you know. There are all kinds of little fantasies we have to incorporate why we're a pain in the butt. And they're not on in Christ. And so these small things, and I'm going to give you some examples here that are so boring, but I find them fascinating. And I was looking at Augustine, you know, Augustine's Confessions. I don't know if any of you know that book. It's a great book about how his journey to Christ. Augustine was a real womanizer. So a lot of his thinking is like how great women are and how he likes them a lot. And I think his prayer was, Lord, save me, but not yet, because he still had some events he wanted to participate in. But the thing that he wrote about very, very much more than anything else, and the sin he took apart was stealing some pears as a boy. And everybody criticizes him for that. Like, what, you were doing these horrible things. Why would you focus on the pears? But he said in that example, someone wrote about it saying he really saw the way he, I think it says he felt that he could do, he wanted to do like God, do whatever he wished. God created the world. I wanted the pears. And it's that smugness we have about small sins, that it's always there, whatever they are. So when something has bothered us, we need to examine it and look at it. And then we speak it to the Lord. This is what I was involved in. I'm naming it. And then I see what I did and how it might have affected others. And I'm asking forgiveness. You confess it in order to ask forgiveness. So you know, in one sense, you know, people say that there are only three prayers: sorry, please, and thank you. And that fits repentance. I'm sorry that I did da, 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 for what it did to other people. Please forgive me, Lord, which he does automatically in the name of Jesus Christ, because of Jesus. And thank you, thank you. I'm restored and I can continue. And then I can decide how I'm going to make that 180. Because only when we're restored to ourselves can we go back and say, okay, I'm going to do things differently. And that's going to be a process of the Lord showing us how we're going to be different. So, and I think quite often in the forgiveness part here, we don't wait to receive forgiveness. Quite often when some, you know, a person's praying with us or with me, they will say, have you received that, Mary Charlotte? Do you receive it? And sometimes people say that to you, even with a compliment, like they might say, you know, Chris, you're such a great guy. You know, Lori, you're so talented. And they're like rushing it off. And some people say, no, hey, Chris, are you hearing me? No, I'm serious. Lori, you're very talented. Are you hearing me? And you're, no, I'm serious. Have you ever had, that's a good friend to make you receive the blessing. As we don't, you know, Christians, it's like we're blessed, but we don't even think it and receive it fully. And so we're not functioning fully. And the further we go, in confessing, like the deeper we realize things, like the pears is a good example, the deeper we know his grace and his mercy. So otherwise we're just kind of living on the surface and our hearts grow cold there. We don't really know the consistent grace of God. Like we do in a certain way, but not the depth of it. And it doesn't, change in behavior comes from heart change. From it's a change in motivation. It is even a change coming from a fuller identity in Christ, so that we know more about our relationship with him and who he is. I loved how Steve talked about a couple of weeks ago about Moses' prayer to God, insisting that God, no, God, you've got to save them. You've got to, don't just save me. I want you to save these people. And he pled with God because he knew the character of God. No, God, you're good and you're not going to do that. You know that. You know what I mean? So it's knowing the depth of God and reminding him and receiving that. So anyway, so this is the first. So this is my first. Yeah, the other thing is, when this is a glitch and we're, you know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Sometimes at night, these things come back to you, or when you're quiet and the day's over and all the things you were trying to do along this line are finished and they went okay, but there was this glitch and something was wrong about that exchange with somebody. And you think, yeah, that wasn't good. So you can ask somebody that was there, you can think about it, and of course you can ask the Lord. Now, one of the scriptures that's really big, and maybe somebody would read this for us, is 1 John 1:7-8 or 8-9, which is, does anybody have that or would read it? Or I can quote it, but it's, this is a kind of real clarion call to realizing we sin. You know, Neil Anderson says where do I have this? I'm going to lose my notes here because I'm talking off the top. But, you know, Neil Anderson describes us, because some people think, oh, we're forgiven, we're good. But our constant identity is sinner and saint, both. So we sin and we're forgiven, you know, we ask the Lord and we're forgiven in Christ, and we're saints. We stand in that forgiveness in Christ, but it's going on all the time. And that's why repentance is a constant for us. And we're never without sin. Does anyone have that scripture to read? Sure, what, Shannon.
Go ahead.
Sure, who was saying?
1 John, what is it?
1 John 1, 8 and 9, isn't it? 8 and 9? If we say we have sin?
Yes.
Even 7 is good. 7 to 9.
Okay, 7 to 9.
I'll start from 7 if you can hear me. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from all our sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. And picking up there, you know, we have a huge ability and propensity to deceive ourselves. You know, that's why, it just goes on and on. If we say we don't sin, we deceive ourselves. And so the Lord's saying there, you know, we're good at that. And our best friends can do it. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, the guy's a pain. Don't worry. Were you that rude? It doesn't matter. He's like that anyway, or she's like that. You know what I mean? They'll defend you. And sometimes you have to know, no, I still don't feel good about it. So we have a tendency to deceive ourselves and we do sin. And it says in John 34, I think I read a translation where it says, when we sin, we're bound to it, but we are enslaved to sin. We become the slave of sin. So we just keeps working us. You know what I mean? We just have it down. In some small ways, we have it down. Like in Augustine, it said, the guy's pears were not even as good as his dad's tree. He didn't eat them. He threw them to the pigs. There were about 10 things about the crime that was no big deal. But the core of it was he was scorning God. He was just like wanting to be what God is. So there can be lots of justification, but it's a heart matter. It's our motivation. It's what we're doing. And just one other thing here, my next picture was, this is how Steve said, like, if you decide your own way around things, okay, I'm not going to see that person anymore that much. You won't be, because they won't be calling you, you know, or I'm going to ignore them, or I'm going to just go around this situation the next time. You end up in another spot, as Steve said, because you want to go straight to God. And we're going to talk about making this a 180. You're still doing the same things, but you're going towards God. So, all right. Let me just see here, just making this. So the next thing is just something I found interesting. I'm going to, you know, Chris, I'm going to have to ask you to, and this is going to require changing a lot of habits. going to ask you to just tell me, Mary Charlotte, this is going on too long, but I'm going to, this is also fascinating that I wanted to tell you. I've been going to Al-Anon at the church, and that's when you're, you know, very often enabling people, or, you know, trying to help too much, trying to fix, trying to do what you think people need and telling them. And I notice in the 12 steps in AA, there is, you know, about 8 of the 12 steps are repentance. I mean, it doesn't use the word repentance, but it's like, you know, make a fearless, a searching and fearless inventory, make amends to people, ask your higher power what it is, you know, go keep going back to your higher power. And for us, this is a little different because we call that power our living God, indicated fully, presented fully to us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who died for us and brought us back to God fully. So it's an incredible privilege we have to know that we can, he will help us to make those amends to people. He'll restore us fully to grace. He doesn't remember or hold the effects of our sin against us. We may have to deal with them. If we steal, we're going to have to pay the money back, or, you know, there's loss, there's sadness, but there's never loss of life over it, you know? It's incredible confirmation we have of all these things in the scripture for the Christian. So that's kind of good. Okay, so I'm going to just go. Now, what time is it? Chris, are we, is it 10 o'clock yet? No. Is 11 o'clock yet? No. Okay.
You're doing great.
Okay, good. So I just want to tell you this. Now, this is personal, too boring for words, but I'm praying that this might, this, you know, this might make you think of something or just be some information for later. But as I started to think about it, I, you know, and I'm not a person who prays all day fervently, day after day. I want to make that clear. But I did just pause, and I can just remember this and just say, Lord, if I'm going to speak on this, I wonder if you want to say anything to me about repentance. Like, what would that mean? And what would I think about right now? And I'm not kidding. I didn't finish saying that, where three things came to my mind, like so clearly. And I had thought about them, and I had apologized to the people, but I had not apologized to the Lord, really. I had not prayed about them, and I hadn't, I hate to say prayed about, because it sounds laborious, I think, from me, but I hadn't spoken at all to the Lord. I hadn't sat with the Lord about it. And I definitely, I might have asked forgiveness from the people, but I had not asked forgiveness from the Lord. And you know, the Lord, David says, it's you I've sinned against. It's you I've sinned against. It's the Lord we've sinned against. So why are we not really asking him about that and receiving it from him? Because people can forgive us, but never as fully as the Lord would, right? They're going to remember, and they're going to be a bit gun shy around us if we've really been a pain. So I'm just going to tell you these three small incidents, especially one of them, which I find amusing and very shocking. The first was just something where someone came into a setting where I was speaking to somebody, and it just shocked me, and I was rude. I don't exactly remember how. It was like that fast a thing, but it was like, no, I'm talking to this person. Like, and when I look back, it's no, I am speaking, and I have to keep thinking about what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is of such significance for everyone, and I'm being interrupted. So I think I just looked, and I was like, oh, you know, we're talking or something. But it was rude. It was just like an unwelcoming thing. And as soon as it was over, it was seconds, I just thought, what was that? And then I couldn't, even hear the person remember what I was doing. So I know it wasn't good. So anyway, but I thought, oh, that person probably didn't even notice it. Well, it turns out they did. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was, okay, this is shocking. I said, we were all going to go swimming at a swimming hole near me. And there's a woman that's our good friend, who is my neighbors and mine, who is older, like 87, and she loves to swim there. And, you know, sometimes if it's a really nice day and everything's perfect, the tide's perfect, I would phone her and encourage her to come. And she'd usually drive there. We'd drive and I'd help her down the hill. We'd all help her down the hill and we'd have a great time. So this day I phoned her and I said, I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up. And she said, no, no, I'll drive. I said, no, I'll pick you up. And so then that's good. So I went to my neighbor. I said, I'm going to pick her up and I'm going to then come back. I'm going to take the kayak. I'm going to go on my own. I'll meet you all over there, but I'll take her there first. So then I go over there and I say that. And then I think, you know, down that little hill, there's all this kindling that I have noticed all summer, perfect for me. And I thought, I'm going to take my big IKEA bag, jam the kindling in there when we go there. So as soon as I put that IKEA bag in my car, I forgot I was picking her up. Yeah. Yeah, I did completely. She's 87. It's completely out of my mind because I'm getting my kindling. And I go, I drive, I park the car, I take my bag out and I start picking kindling. And in my mind now, I've gone back to where she used to come drive herself and I'm helping her down the hill because that suits me today because I want the kindling. Know what I mean? So I'm starting to pack it. People are coming along the road. Oh, Mary Charlotte, picking up some wood. You gonna have a fire? Yeah, I am. I'm like completely on the wood. I'm going to have a fire in my fireplace and this is the wood. You're going to do it at the beach? Oh no, I wouldn't do it at the beach. I'm going to shoot the wood. I'm just like a lunatic on the fire. You know, those big IKEA bags, they're enormous. I packed it. I must've been there. I could have been there an hour. I wouldn't have noticed. She's not here. Oh wow. I wonder where my 87-year-old friend is. When the bag was absolutely jammed and there was no kindling left, I thought, I wonder if she thought, she probably got it wrong and thought I was picking her up, which was right. So I drove over. She's very upset, or, you know, like she's wondering what happened. And I think she's forgotten that she said she would drive, and she's senile. Whereas I am senile and forgot I had driven. So anyway, she got in the car and it was worse and worse. And she's first, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about her, but it was upsetting. And she was like, this is why I don't like to, she didn't say, this is why I don't like to go with you. She said, this is why I like to drive myself. And I'm thinking, she's never going to let me drive her again. This is finished. She got in the car. And then I'm saying this to say my insistence on, I am, you know, Martin Luther says it's in curvatus se, sin is curving in on yourself. It's like a snail and you get a shell on it in you. That's what I was like that thing. So I'm driving her and I'm saying, I'm going to drive. She said, just drop me off at the top of the hill. Now we're always concerned for all of us going down that hill because it's slippy. And she's 87 with a cane. And I said, I'm going to help you. Wait there. I'm coming around the car to help you down the hill. This is now very important to me. She said, I don't want your help going down the hill. I said, no, 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 I don't want you going down the hill, but I'm coming out. She said, no, give me my bag. She got out and I said, no, I really want to help you going down the hill like a lunatic. You know, this is like the wood, but now it's like, she said, she sort of shouted. I don't know if you heard her. If you were around that area, you heard her. I am not an invalid, she shouted. So she felt like an invalid from what I was saying. And I was now afraid to get out. I can't get out now. And I thought she's going to go headlong. And, you know, she didn't. She went down fine. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, you're going to think I'm overly dramatic. I have to be. I live alone. It's what I was thinking of. Did anybody, you ever see the Elephant Man? You know, the man that's distorted is that facial thing. And the climax of that movie was when he shouted, "I am a human being." This is what I was treating. I know you're thinking this is too much, but I'm telling you, this is what it is to me. You're not hearing me. I needed the ride. That's what I was thinking about. I am prepared. I've got my strong shoes on. I've got my stick. I'm going down the hill. I'm enjoying to go down the hill. I don't want you to hear. So long story short, I left and I took the thing back and I said to my friends, you know, so-and-so's there. Be very careful. She's very touchy. Not realizing I was completely in the wrong. I said, you know, be careful, because she said, I'm not an invalid. And they said, oh, no worries, no worries. So they go back. I go back. Oh, we had a wonderful time at the beach. All is well. I'm going to bed at night. I lie down. And I remember I told her, I'm picking you up. That's why I took the car. It was completely forgotten when I decided I wanted to do firewood, because I'd been thinking about that wood all summer. So it was just a shock to me. I said, that went gone. I forgot her. I forgot her because I was doing wood. You know what I mean? That was stunning. I thought, am I losing my marbles? What was that? So that was, so, you know, and in the morning, I found there was a message from her. She was kind of trying to apologize, saying, a wonderful day. Thanks for all you did. Thanks for bringing me lunch before. It's like, and I phoned her. I said, you know what? I just remembered. I really did say it. I'm so sorry. I forgot you. And she said, you're going on too much about it. But she didn't know the shock I was in. I was just feeling. The third thing was being with my friend at the Duncan Market. Don't anybody take this personally, but I only looked at my phone with a request from somebody that I'd offered to get something at the market when I was at the cashier. Huge line at the market, everybody COVID, waiting. And my friend said, let's line up again for this order. And I said, no, I'm here. My thing, I'm here. The cashier is my servant. The people can wait. I vaguely looked at the people. It was a huge line. And we went into tomatoes and bananas. And I have not used to going to the Duncan Market, and I didn't know that the guy gets the thing and how it goes. I had, by the end, two guys going for things they'd already gotten and delivered to the car. When my friend said it was a bit confusing, I was like, no, it's not confusing at all. I was fine. No, it has taken me till now to realize the confusion, the public confusion in that place. Now you're I hope you're all thinking, this woman is out there and I never do anything like this and I'm happy for you. Anyway, as I said to the Lord, the three things came like this. And I said, Lord, what is this? What's the thing? Immediately, the scripture came to me, and it was not, you know, that song says it's godly sorrow. It's his gentleness that brings us to repentance. The Lord didn't say you did this. The scripture that came to me was, yeah, esteem the other more highly than yourself.
Hold on.
And I immediately realized I had esteemed myself much more highly than all the others. And that was it. It was like, wow, yeah, that's in common. Now, when we sort of zero in on what we're doing, those things also have a root. Like if I'm not esteeming the other, there's a reason there. And the reason is always my own significance, insignificance, my own feeling of powerlessness, my own shame, my own sense of abandonment, or, you know, something. And the Lord wants us to know that we are so, we have to investigate that. That's a little bit deeper. Sometimes we need somebody to talk that over with, but it's like we didn't get the acceptance that the Lord gives us. We never do. It's never as full as what the Lord gives us. These are the things that Neil Anderson outlines, and they're kind of a good three things: the acceptance, the security we have in the Lord, and the significance we have in life with him from our calling. So when those things are threatened or we're not sure of them, you know, our wood can be more important than our relationship, or our time is more important than somebody else's, or we're doing something we think is so significant and it's not. And you know, when I was thinking about these things, especially the first thing, I just think, well, the Lord was probably in a rush all the time and had to be a bit rude to people sometimes. And then I think, you know, like I didn't really say it that way to myself. It's like, I'm sure the Lord was right. No, there was nothing in the gospel about that. The Lord was actually welcomed any kind of interruption. Like if you think of all the people he stopped because he felt the woman at his, you know, the woman with an issue of blood, or how the disciples were very dismissive of children. He said, no, this is the whole story right here. Their heart attitude is what you're lacking. Or the publican and the sinner, you know, the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee who was like, so glad I'm holy the way I am. I'm glad I'm not like that poor guy at the front or at the back. And he's saying, you know, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. But the Lord said that person went away justified. So that attitude of repentance and wanting to turn is so important to us. And so I guess that's probably, I'm just gonna think here. So I think these things we just need to, I think I've probably said what's good here. I was just looking at the Book of Common Prayer, just remembering, you know, the confession, which is a daily confession at morning and evening prayer. What's the scripture in Jeremiah that says, you know, our hearts are desperately wicked, past knowing. We don't know them. We don't know our own hearts. And Paul says, you know, he in Romans 6 is that I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do. So there, you know, sin are commissions. We do things that are bad, and omissions. We don't do what we would have liked to do. So this has got some great phrases in it. I'm just going to give you. We've erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We've followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We don't know them. We've offended your law. Now, this is important to see, that when the Lord brings a scripture to us, that's reminiscent of a law, like not esteeming the other more highly than yourself. It's basically, if you know no scripture, it will come to you. It's not loving. It's not loving. And he says, love. Love one another. People will know the church by the love. Now, you know, I experienced the Lord first living with a family. My family was good, church going, you know, but I lived with a family that really practiced forgiveness. I mean, committed Christians. And I said, this is different. I saw this is different. And so when we see love in the church, people really loving each other, not gossiping about each other, not, you know, sometimes sin, a better way to say it is just rude. It's just rudeness. And when we see love, we see the Lord. So it's so important to him. And then it says, you know, we've done the things we shouldn't have done, and we've done those things which we ought not to have done, and we've not done, we've undone those things we ought to have done. I just like that. And there's no health. But you, Lord, and one of the prayers says, you are the one whose property, whose main characteristic is to have mercy. That's so great. And, you know, I was reading in N.T. Wright's book from a couple of years ago called Paul, A Biography of Paul. And the Road to Damascus chapter says that, you know, we often think of that as a conversion from Judaism to Christianity, but it wasn't. It was Paul was a Jew. They were the ones that knew the living God. So he knew all these qualities of him. And he thought the, you know, new Jewish believers in Jesus were off until he saw him. And in that moment, he called him Lord. He saw in his face and his comment to him, why are you kicking at me? The mercy of God. He knew that was the one he'd been reading about and waiting for as a people. And that was, you know, we call it his conversion, but it was his realization of all the promises were in this person. And all those promises are there for you and for me today in these, any kind of thing that is giving us a check. So so just to know that these, and the end of this is saying, restore us when we're penitent according to your promises to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that we may now live a gracious, merciful, righteous, sober life. Now we make that 180 going back. So I just thought that we might, well, maybe we could just, if there are any questions about that. Oh my gosh, it's 11:02. I'm so sorry, this is long. If you have any questions or comments, or we could, Chris, Shannon, whoever would like to chime in could clarify. And then I have written a prayer that we could just let the Lord bring to mind anything that may have been, you know, anything that we've gathered dust on our feet over the past few weeks, and then just have I've written a little prayer to just wait for forgiveness. And then we're just, I'll just show you on the diagram how that means we're going to go the other way and how the Lord will help us. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. You touched on some high points that for me that I just want to reiterate, but the idea of confessing, and we know from Spanish menus that con means together with, like saying the same thing, yeah. Saying the same thing as God about our sin, mm-hmm. Also needing to say the same thing as God about our forgiveness. You said that, pausing to receive. Yeah. I think that's a real important thing. We agree with God about our sin, but we keep agreeing with God about our sin in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we don't do that. Why don't we follow through? And you touched on that, because we don't stop and listen. And I think that was a real point. What the verse that exploded into my head when you were saying that was, and we often think of it in another context, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah, yeah.
The revelation of God's character. So in your narrative, you stopped, you were still, and then those things that needed repentance came to mind, right? In the light of his glory and grace, we see where we need to repent. We stop and be still, and we receive his forgiveness.
Yeah,
that waiting before the Lord and seeing his character, and which tracks exactly with the Exodus narrative that Steve's been sharing from. They really fouled up when Moses was on the hill receiving the commandments, mm-hmm. And they fouled up with the golden calf. They tried these end runs that you illustrated, right? Oh, well, this, well, excuses and everything else. And then their sin weighed upon them. Well, the next thing we find God doing before Moses is revealing his character more. The Lord, mm-hmm. The Lord. And what does he say about himself? Mercy. In other words, repentance isn't complete until we agree with God about mm-hmm. Who he is in his mm-hmm. Mercy and forgiveness too. So that whole Exodus narrative tracks exactly with how you described it. And in order to follow through and complete the process of receiving forgiveness. And we can't walk in newness of life until we do that. We'll be doing the, you know, how you pointed out, we do the 360 and spin around instead of the 180 and move forward. Mm-hmm. We can't agree with God until we've done that, being still and receiving what he says about himself to receive his forgiveness and move on. So I think you track actually the Exodus narrative that we looked at really well. And for me, it's, do I stop and be still to understand what I need to move on from?
Yeah.
And do I stop and be still to understand that by his grace, I can move on?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's an opportunity that's being, that you're inviting us into this morning, is to be still before the Lord and let him reveal to us. And I think that's an important invitation.